food giant, the meat people.
It's Arkansas's largest automotive neighborhood, the McCain Mile. 12 dealerships, 3,500 units, every major brand, all within 1 mile north of McCain Mall. And now, it's McCain Mile Madness Week through Saturday. One huge sale. All units with major markdowns at all the dealerships. There's 0% financing. And check dealer websites for a special $500 discount coupon. Visit the McCain Mile dealerships. More dealers, more brands, more inventory, more savings.
A powerful weight loss supplement is being given out to listeners in this area on a strict first-come, first-served basis. You must be between the ages of 25 and 65 and need to lose at least 30 pounds. Please call now only if you qualify. 1-800-440-1038. This product can cause dramatic weight loss, so supplies are limited. It's called Final Trim. Take two capsules just once a day as directed, and you can experience maximum weight loss. Pounds in days. It uses natural ingredients, making it healthy and safe. If your weight loss with Final Trim is too dramatic, please decrease use and only take one capsule a day. Call now and you will be given a full-size supply of Final Trim to use absolutely risk-free. Repeat, Final Trim is being given out to listeners on a strict first-come, first-served basis. Supplies are limited. Call 1-800-440-1038. 1-800-440-1038. That toll-free number again is 1-800-440-1038.
It's trail riding weather, and if you've not been to Richard's Yamaha to check out the Grizzly 4x4s, you're wasting your time. The Grizzly Ultramatic CV transmission is smooth, quiet, reliable, and nearly indestructible. Check out the full line of Grizzlies firsthand at Richard's Yamaha. Yamaha's power steering makes encounters with rocks, ruts, roots, and other hidden trail obstacles easier to negotiate by preventing the handlebars from being ripped from your hands. A Grizzly from Richard's has a narrow body and a tall ground clearance, allowing you to negotiate the tightest, gnarliest trails with ease. Choose yours at Richard's Yamaha today. What a great Christmas gift for the whole family. And a dirt bike from Santa would be so much fun on Christmas morning. While you're at Richard's, register in the Big Buck Challenge to win an all-new Viking side-by-side. Yamaha's Viking is the most off-road capable, hardest working, and only true three-person side-by-side in its class. Richard's Yamaha on South University or RideArkansas.com.
ATVs with engine sizes of 90 cc's or greater for use only by riders 16 years or older. Yamaha recommends an approved training course. See dealer or call 1-800-887-2887. ATVs can be hazardous to operate.
For shelter insurance.
For people who know that the first love of your life might have been an 84 hatchback.
We believe insurance is better when it relies as much on humanity as it does on technology.
And we know what the weather is like in your area because we live in your area.
We're the people behind the shield.
Shelter insurance for your auto, home, and life. We're your shield. We're your shelter.
See shelter agents Candace Alford in Gravel Ridge, Brian Crest in North Little Rock, or Darren Clark in Whitehall today.
You ready? Let's go!
You're in the zone. Coming to you live from the Fury Electric Studio with Justin Akre on the Buzz Radio Network.
This is 10% luck, 20% skill, 15% concentrated power of will, 5% pleasure, 50% pain, 100% reason to remember the name.
I'm not a whole lot that I can think of right now because there's so much going on, man. I'm very happy. You know, if I could get up and dance right now, I would, but I don't have enough room to do that. So when we get off camera, I'll probably be doing that. It's great to see them to make it to this point. And, you know, I want to congratulate them both for being finalists. You know, Goldschmidt, he had an amazing career. His numbers are off the wall. And Yadier Molina for everything that he does as well. Very happy for those guys as well. I'd lie to you if I said it didn't enter my mind ever. It definitely did pass my thought process at points. But, you know, for myself, I'm not a selfish player, and I definitely wasn't thinking for myself and for majority of the season. I was just trying to be the best player that I can be for my team. There were times in the game where I come up to bat and you just hear everybody standing up, just cheering MVP, and, you know, it was awesome to be able to hear something like that. It's something you don't hear all the time, and that's something that I haven't heard all the time. So it was definitely cool just to be a part of it, and definitely honored again.
Good morning here on the Buzz, here on the Zone. Phil Elson filling in for Justin Akre, taking a well-deserved vacation. Matty T's driving the car. We got the Pigskin Preacher, and you just heard the sounds of the National League Most Valuable Player, according to the Baseball Writers. That's Andrew McCutchen. And, of course, congratulations to McCutchen and to the American League MVP Miguel Cabrera winning his second in a row. If you know me, you know my background is mostly in baseball and do some football, basketball, too. But with the MVP awards being announced yesterday by the baseball writers, I thought that'd be a great place to start. And, Pigskin, I guess I'll offer some congratulations. By the way, we've got a Pirates fan here, myself, a Tigers fan across from me. That's Pigskin. So congratulations, I guess, to both of our fan bases for having an MVP. But there are going to be some angry Cardinal fans, I think, that would like to get their opinion out there
today. The Cardinals fans can shut it, basically. Let's go ahead and begin with that. McCutchen was the best player in the National League. Cabrera the best in the American League. Who's going to argue with that? Now, if you're talking about the team, obviously the Cardinals had the best team in the league, but they didn't have an individual who had a better season than McCutchen did. You know, five-tool player, does it all. And like you said before we got on, Pittsburgh did not have a great offense, and they were largely there because him and a couple of other guys dragged him there.
Yeah, that's the thing about the Pirates and about McCutchen is that he seemed to mean so much more offensively to the Pirates than I think any other team in the National League. But then when you're dealing with a position like catching, like Molina, it's so difficult. And in this day and age, there's a metric for almost anything, some stat that can measure your ability to play defense in the field and your range and your ability to cut down runners. But it's difficult to really put an actual statistical measure on a catcher's valuability to a pitching staff. I happen to think that over the last few years, you probably wouldn't find a more valuable player to his team than Yadier Molina. I do think this season, though, that McCutchen might have been a little bit of a step ahead. And the other thing, too, you know, these awards are voted by human beings. It's not necessarily statistic-based. They're looking at stats. I feel that sometimes these awards can they follow a story. They follow a something that kind of clings to your heart a little bit. And I wonder if some of the voting had anything to do with the 20 years of losing that the Pirates dealt with and McCutchen leading them to the playoffs for the first time.
Well, it's a feel-good story, of course. The Cardinals have won two World Series in the last few seasons. They've gotten certainly their share of swag as it goes. The Pirates have gotten nothing. And, yeah, there's no doubt that there's a little bit of that. And also, some of these numbers crunchers, there's obviously something to this. The fact that the Oakland A's could beat the Texas Rangers to win the division the last 2 years just astounds me because they don't have half of Texas's talent. So I get the whole Billy Bean approach to the game, but there's some dim bulb in the blogosphere who's been whining for the last 2 years that Mike Trout should have gotten the MVP over Cabrera the last two seasons. I would just say to that, if you know anything about baseball, if you've watched anything about baseball, you can't take your eyes off Cabrera. Cabrera has done some historically great things. Trout is a fantastic talent, no question. There's no way in the world that with a last place Anaheim Angels of Orange County of Los Angeles that you can make the case that Trout was a better player than Cabrera this year. There's no way.
No, I could still even make a case for last season with Cabrera winning the Triple Crown that Trout might have actually had a better all-around year. And I thought last year that Trout, you could make a very strong case for Trout's most valuable player voting. This year, I think, with as poorly as the Angels did, and I know there are a lot of people out there that say, look, I mean, an MVP award, you need to have a winning team or a team that's going to the playoffs to get some votes. That's not necessarily always the truth. I mean, Cal Ripken won when his team finished in last. Andre Dawson did the same. But when you have a guy like Cabrera that has had these two historic seasons back-to-back, and the Triple Crown was really amazing. I don't think it means as much as people think it means now because RBI is – I mean, look, RBIs have been – it's a very important statistic. You got to knock in runs, but I do feel that it's a little over-pushed. But I think that this year, I think it was an easy call for Cabrera to get those votes. And I'm a Mike Trout fan myself, a former Arkansas traveler.
If you love baseball, you're a Mike Trout fan.
He's also a guy you can't take your eyes off him.
Great kid, phenomenal talent. He just wasn't as productive as Cabrera. He's not.
That's true, and played for a very bad team. But
he will probably win three or four of these things, barring injury.
I mean, he's already got the Darren McFadden thing going on. He's finished second twice,
right?
And that's in his first 2 years as a Major League Baseball player. We want to know what you have to say about this and about anything else. Obviously, there's no Razorback game this weekend. If you're gearing up for next weekend's game against Mississippi State here in Little Rock, which will be a morning start time, let us know what your plans are, what you think about the game. When we were looking at the start of the season, remember Justin had us do our picks, Pigskin, and the tiebreaker was
the record for the Razorbacks at the end of the season. And I remember looking down the schedule and in the SEC and thinking, this is it. This is the one that they can win, the Mississippi State game. I didn't think that there'd be any other chances. And I think if they lose this one, then Frank Fletcher better get ready to give out those dozen cars. And I want to get in line, by the way, Frank. I like my car, but if they're all in
Razorback red, by the way.
Well, so. Red's okay. Yeah. I guess it's fine. The Travelers have some red, too. Well, we want to know what you have to say. I forget the phone number here, Matty T. Can you tell me what it is?
433-1037. Statewide, 1-800-477-1037.
Oh, there they are. They're at the back of the room.
I love how... When Matt Stell is in, he always mentions singular customers.
It still says that.
Those of you still dialing from a rotary phone. Yes.
Yes, and you can send us a letter via the post office, and we might read it by next Wednesday. Sterling is on the line, and I know if Sterling is calling, he wants to talk baseball and probably about the Cardinals. Sterling, are you disappointed about the MVP voting?
Oh, not at all. I think McCutcheon deserves it. He's a great player. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think I love Yachty, and he's a candidate. And I mean, he does a great job defensively behind the plate. He even hits. He takes care of the pitching staff. But I mean, I can't argue with McCutcheon. I mean, either one would have been fine with me. But McCutcheon's been leading the Pittsburgh back to the playoffs for the first time in over two decades. Hard to argue with that.
Well, one point you can make when you look at the actual standings in the voting is the Cardinals had two in the top five. They had Molina finished third and right in front of his second baseman, Matt Carpenter, the only other Pirate to even get a 10th place vote, which is surprising because it's Russell Martin, the catcher. Martin in the 220s, but obviously as a catcher, he's getting a 10th place vote for his ability to handle the pitching staff. But the National League home run co-champion, Pedro Alvarez, didn't even get a vote. So I think you can see it's, at least according to the voters, McCutcheon really did mean more to the Pirates than Molina might have meant to the Cardinals this
year. One thing about Martin as well, his numbers are never all that eye-popping, but Martin hits in important situations. He did with the Yankees. He's one of those like Napoli that was with the Rangers and now with Boston. You don't want Napoli up at big moments. Kind of like Gene Tennis going back into the early 70s right. For the Oakland A's. You know, pretty pedestrian numbers, but a very clutch hitter.
Tennis had the mustache. Knapp's got the beard.
Well, yeah, he's got a lot of beard.
Sterling, what else you got? What else you want to ask about?
I was wondering what you think about a couple of guys when they end up. Beltran, I expect Beltran to be with the Cardinals. I actually expect him to be with the American League Club this next year. I want to get a thought on that. And
I think that's a very good assessment. Beltran, who used to be a top-notch defender in his late 30s now, is not able to get to the ball as quickly as he used to, and he still has a pretty strong arm, but he seems to be a guy that that would certainly enjoy a couple of days a week without having to grab his glove. So I think you're right about going to the American League.
How about we trade Beltran even up for Prince Fielder? The Tigers would make that trade right now.
Bet you didn't think you'd be asking for that 2 years ago, right?
No. 2 years ago, everyone was excited, but Fielder seems to be on the downhill slide, and, man, he just did nothing in the playoffs.
You know, and the Cardinals have a very solid minor league system. There's an outfielder at AAA, Oscar Tavares, that we saw 2 years ago with Springfield. He was the Texas League Player of the Year. And I think Tavares is a star in the waiting in the major leagues, so you're going to want to open a spot for him. Although, maybe Tavares could be one of the pieces that the Cardinals are using as trade bait in the rumored Tulowitzki trade. Sterling, what do you think about the idea of adding Troy Tulowitzki to that lineup?
I would love to add him, but I don't want to give up Tavares. I wouldn't want to give up Miller. Definitely not Walker. I mean, I don't know. I have to figure out who would they want to give up. I know he's a big time guy. I know he's an MVP type player, but he's also a $20 million player, and I just think he's too expensive. I'd rather go after.
He's been a little brittle too in his career. I know this year he was dealing with I think a groin injury. He's had a couple of groin injuries as well, and a wrist injury that might have been a little fluky. But when he's healthy, there might not be a better shortstop in baseball.
Well, and the Cardinals have piles of cash after not paying Pujols,
and they've got a giant zero as far as hitting at shortstop in Pete Cosma.
A giant zero.
So that
you got other shortstop out there, Andre at Texas. I like him. He's young. He's 25.
Johnny Peralta's open. The Tigers probably aren't going to keep him. Peralta is a 300 hitter. He doesn't have very good range at short, but anything he gets to, he catches. He's got a good glove.
That time of the year, isn't it fun? A little hot stove.
Hot stove, baby. Yes, it is.
A little hot stove in the middle of the college football and NFL season.
Well, you know, what, Razorbacks have a week off. You know, basketball hasn't really cranked up. You know, let's talk some baseball.
You know, and I think that the Rangers, they're going to have to be making a trade involving one of their two dynamic middle infielders. Either Elvis Andrus or Jurickson Profar will be heading to greener. I don't know if I'd say greener pastures, but to another pasture at some point. And with Profar being the one who's I'm sorry? Profar can play a great shortstop.
If you're a Rangers fan, you've got to be pulling your hair out, though. I mean, how do you lose to Oakland two straight years? They don't have 40% of the talent that the Rangers have on that roster.
That's just because nobody knows who these guys are. I mean, they kind of change out. It seems that they change out each year, but that's a great organization.
Billy Bean is
on.
A genius, and I'm going to propose they should make a movie about him.
In Hollywood.
Just a thought. Well, you know, I don't know where these ideas keep coming from. But
here's a thought about Billy Bean and the idea of putting a team together on stat-based analysis. It works over the course of a 162-game season. It does not always work in the course of a 7-game postseason series.
They've had the Tigers put away two times in the last 2 years in the playoffs. They just didn't have the firepower to finish the deal. They didn't
over a 162-game season, things are going to even out. The bounces that so-called go a team's way in football or another sport, that doesn't happen in baseball very often.
Not
because
usually.
You play so many games. In a 7-game series, those bounces, those variables, those things that you can't plan for, they do matter, and they matter a lot.
They
look what happened in the World Series this year with a couple of the really goofy endings.
Absolutely.
Anyway, thanks for the call, Sterling. We appreciate that.
Hot,
oh, you got it. You know, if I'm on the air, we're talking baseball, at least a good chunk of it.
Have a great weekend.
You know who was, I mean, is kind of left out of it, and Arizona is an interesting sports market. It's like the Atlanta of the West. So many people are moving there from other locations that they don't necessarily have their own hardcore fan base. And
it's like their second team.
Right. Yeah. I'm going to anger some Braves fans saying that. And I know there are some really hardcore Braves fans, but unless they're throwing baseballs on the field in a postseason series like the year before, it's usually a more of a laid-back, quiet fan base. It wasn't like that before they turned into the Braves under Bobby Cox in the early 90s.
I was watching them in the 80s when they had 734 people in the stands. I mean, so the Atlanta fans should calm down a little bit. It is not a great baseball city. It's not.
Arizona's Paul Goldschmidt had a tremendous season. Finished second in the MVP award, so maybe he's got a little bit more of a road to hoe than Molina does, more of a complaint than Molina does, because Goldschmidt finished tied for the National League lead in home runs. He was the league leader in runs batted in. He won a gold glove. And was certainly the most valuable player on his team, and that Arizona club was not as good as I think had been expected. But that's the case of a small market. Arizona is a bigger market than Pittsburgh. But
problems, Phil. You got number one, the small market curse, and you got a really bad time zone. People in the eastern half of the country are not staying up to watch those games. Now, being an insomniac as I am, I would watch Vin Scully and the Dodgers all the time, because I got one of those cable things that you can watch 8,000 channels. I never watch Arizona. And I'm a big baseball fan, but there's just not anything all that. And I'm a Gibson fan. Kirk Gibson, great Tiger legend. But Arizona is just one of those places you're going to get ignored. It's kind of that same idea that in football, if you're in the Pac-10, nobody gets to see you, and you're at a disadvantage for high rankings and Heisman votes.
Well, look at Goldschmidt here. 36 homers, 125 runs batted in. For a team that finished 81-81, and they were out of the race, 11 games behind the division winning Dodgers.
Mm-hmm.
551 slugging, 952 OPS, and a gold glove, which is also something that's not fact-based all the time. Remember, Rafael Palmeiro won a gold glove when he played most of his games as a designated hitter. So that award, sometimes you try to,
would you
take
say
it with
that the MVP mirrors the Heisman these days, and that it's the best player on one of the best teams? Because if you're not one of the best teams, you're probably not going to get a serious look.
That's true, and it's also narrative based sometimes, like we talked about with like last year with Cabrera. Yeah, you could look at his season and say, well, this is the first triple crown since Yastrzemski in 67. I mean, it was over 40 years since that last triple crown. That's right. Narrative-based. And, of course, you can look at it that they went to the playoffs. You can look at it that, aside from what he led the league in, he had a tremendous year. But that's a great narrative to follow. And McCutcheon's narrative this year, you know, he's already signed a long-term contract in Pittsburgh, loves the city, you know, revived baseball in that town. I do feel that some of those votes were narrative-based. But I want to know who put Molina at 10th.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
And there were two votes for Molina at 9th, and I know one or two of them came from Pittsburgh.
He's got to be in the top five regardless. He has to be.
Agreed.
It's like Phil Fulmer voting Michigan 4th in 1997 because he was chapped that Woodson won the Heisman over his boy Peyton.
It's one of the issues that you have sometimes when voting is done by members of the media, and sometimes they have their own reasons that don't have anything to do with who they're voting on.
Like vindictiveness.
Well, I mean, yes. Ted Williams twice won a triple crown and did not win the MVP
those years.
And that's because the writers hated him.
Insane. They did.
They hated him.
Steve Carlton, the same thing. They couldn't stand Lefty.
So, I mean, that's one thing to think about when it comes to this voting. I do think Molina will be an MVP award winner at some point. I do think that he is, over the last few years, the most valuable player in the National League. And, I mean, you know, I'm a catcher from my high school days, and that's my vantage point from a broadcast standpoint from behind home plate. So I still kind of view the game as a catcher, as a broadcaster. So I'm a big fan of Molina, and I think eventually he'll win it.
I would like to see the Tigers trade for Molina, and we would be willing to give up Alex Avila to do it.
Well,
any St. Louis fans with the ear of the GM, please let him know about that offer. It's on the table.
Well, you got a new catcher now as your manager in Detroit with Brad Ausmus, which...
Yeah, I wonder how long he's going to put up with lousy catching with Avila. Now, here's the interesting thing. Avila's dad is the assistant GM. Can you say nepotism? Yeah, you should, because that's why he's playing.
It's a very good point. We'll be moving on to other topics as the show goes along. In a little bit, we'll have C.J. Moore, who's the lead college basketball writer at Bleacher Report. Of course, there was one of the biggest events maybe in college basketball history, aside from the Final Four of the Champions Classic on Wednesday. I was riding to Springfield, Missouri with the UALR women's basketball team when the Champions Classic was there. Duke and Kansas, Michigan State and Kentucky. It was really exciting and a lot of fun to watch. The girls on the bus made sure that we got to watch both of those games, so that was a thrill, and we'll talk with CJ about that. I'm interested to hear his opinion on the rules changes in college basketball, and I want to hear what you have to say about them, too. I've heard that there's already been more than two handfuls of games where teams have had over 50 attempts at the foul line.
It's going to be a free throw shooting contest, but eventually this will work itself out and they'll quit hacking so much.
It's going to take a couple of years, but until that happens, you might want to bring a magazine or a book to your college basketball.
The games
arena
are going to last longer than most baseball games.
That's exactly right. So, and that never happens.
No.
That never happens. So we'll be joined by C.J. Moore, as the lead college basketball writer at Bleacher Report, shortly. And we want your phone calls as well. Call us up at 433-1037. We'll take anything you want to talk about, baseball, football, basketball as well. If we know something about it, we'll let you know an opinion. If we don't, we'll make something up.
That's what Justin does all the time.
That's right. The friendlier and an easier going zone here on The Buzz. No Justin Akre, Pigskin Preacher. I'm Phil Elson, Matty T. We'll be back after this on The Buzz.